I had a little bit of a rush on this afternoon because I actually changed my sermon. There's nothing worse, is it? When you've got a sermon and God tells you to do something else. So this afternoon I had a house full of kids because Peter was down with three of the boys, his stepson as well. So they were running around the house like mad, but I managed to do it anyway. Anyway, okay. I just want to look at Mark chapter 6, verse 30. I'm just going to draw out a few things from this scripture that I believe God is speaking to us as a church and as personally about. I really believe tonight's message, in one way, is prophetic to us as a church and to us as individuals. Because we are the church of God. It's not the building. It is us, the people. God built his church with flesh and blood. Amen? Amen. It isn't a building. It's flesh and blood. So we start from Mark chapter 6, verse 30. And it says this. Then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they did not have time to eat. So they departed to a deserted place in a boat by themselves. But the multitudes saw them departing, and many knew him and ran there on foot from all the cities. They arrived before them and came together to him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep, not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. When the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, this is a deserted place, and already the hour is late. Send them away, and they may go into the surrounding country and villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. But he answered and said to them, You give them something to eat. And they said to him, shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat? But he said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they had found, they said, 5 and 2 fishes. Then he commanded them to make them all sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in ranks, in hundreds and in fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven, blessed and broke the loaves, and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fish he divided among them all. So they all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of fish. Now those who had eaten the loaves were about 5,000 men. Amen. Amen. I want to draw 4 things out that God wants to say to us tonight. One, let's look at verse 34. It says this, and Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep, not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. My brother last week, can I take it off? Okay, because I like to walk around a bit. Our brother last week spoke about God caring. And I believe, you know, it says God had great compassion on them because they were like sheep, not having a shepherd. And I see that very much like us here at the moment. You know, our shepherd, our human shepherd who was leading us, Terry, has gone on to his reward. And I believe God cares. You know, Edward Britton shared a bit about Jesus in the boat and about him being fast asleep. And he asked us a question, does God care? And God cares. You know the smallest verse in the Bible, isn't it? Jesus wept. God cares. God cries with us. God mourns with us. God has compassion on us. I don't know about you, but the last couple of days I've really felt down. You know, it was Saturday morning. I felt so depressed, so down. And today hasn't been a very good day. But I know that God cares. And God has compassion on me. And God loves me no different. And you know, he cares about everything that happens to us. You know, It says he had great compassion. He looked out. He looks out and he sees us here this evening. All right, there's not 5,000 of us. One day, you know, one day we believe God is going to fill this church. Amen? That's right. God's going to fill this church. He hasn't forgotten about it. But he looked out and he saw people who were tired, who were weary, who were hungry, who in one way were sad. And God had compassion on them. He cares. If nothing else, God cares. God's heart is so much for us. He says in his word, weep with the widows. And God doesn't do anything. He doesn't tell us to do something that he doesn't do. He doesn't tell us to do something that he hasn't already done. He feels our sorrow. He feels our heartache. He feels our downs. But he cares. He cares. And you know, in one way, he cares, and we should care as well. You know, there's a sermon in itself in it. The disciples said to Jesus, "Send them away. Send them so they can buy food and eat." But Jesus, he had compassion. He cared. He knew that they were tired enough, hungry enough, and he knew that he could provide. And we need to be like Jesus sometimes. We need to care as well, isn't it? We need to care as well for people, not pushing them away. You know, the disciples pushed the children away, didn't they? And Jesus said, let them come to me. Isn't that wonderful? That is a God that we worship, who never sends people away. He calls them unto him, doesn't he? Because he loves us and he cares for us. Verse 37 says, but he answered to them, you give them something to eat. And they said to him, shall we go and buy 200 worth of denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat? You know, Jesus said, you give them something to eat. Isn't it? You give them. You know, it is a word for us. Tonight, that we got something to give to people out there in the world, isn't it? If we don't show that we care, who is going to show? Isn't it? It's only us. I've said this before, but I want to say God cares. Secondly, I want to say this. Verse 42 says this. So they all ate and were filled. I believe, again, that's a prophetic word for us. They were hungry. And it's a question for us tonight. Are we hungry for God? Are we hungry for God? These people, they followed Jesus into a desolate place. They followed him, even though they knew they had no food or anything. But they followed him because they wanted something of Jesus. Just quickly, what does it say? It says this, but the multitude saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran there on foot from all the cities. See, many knew. Are you hungry for Jesus tonight? Verse 43 says this, and they took up 12 baskets full of fragments of fish. You know, he will meet our needs, won't he? Huh? He will meet our needs. John 6 says, let's have a look. John 6, 35 says this. Quickly turn to it. A minute. I didn't write it down. 36 says. John 6, 35 says. Have we got the right one? Sorry, John 6, 35. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. Isn't that wonderful? John 6, 48 says this, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which come down from heaven. If anyone eats of the bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give him is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. You know, are we hungry tonight? Are we hungry for God? The psalmist says this. Where is this? Psalm 42:1. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you. You know, If we are hungry for God tonight, God is going to fill us. God is going to fill us. You know, we can sit in our pews and be satisfied with the crumbs. But God wants to give us bread, living bread. Living bread. Psalm 107 says this, For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. He satisfies. I don't know about you, sometimes an example is McDonald's. You know, as having young children, you have to go to McDonald's. Well, that's my excuse anyway. You have a McDonald's and sometimes it doesn't satisfy. Has anyone found that, Ken? Oh, there we are. Obviously, your children are grown up, aren't they? I go to McDonald's and I'll have whatever. An hour later, I'm hungry again. But the word says, for he satisfies. Amen? He satisfies the hungry. He satisfies. That is the God. Are we hungry? Matthew 5:6 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Amen? They shall be filled. We need a hunger and a thirst after God. If we have a hunger and a thirst after God, he will fill this place. It's not about the man up the front who is hungry and thirsty, but it's about us all. We all have a responsibility to go after God, searching, seeking, asking, knocking for more. I worship a God who says in John 10, he has come to give me abundant life. Abundant life. What does abundance mean? Something which isn't normal. Something which is more and more and more and more. He will fill the hungry. There were 5,000 people. That was a lot of people. They had nothing. But you know what? They had the best thing. And that was Jesus. Yes, he was a man. And I agree with people. He was a man. He came down in his humanity. But there was something about Jesus. He had compassion. He had love. But he knew there was a people that were hungry. And God filled them. And not only did he fill them, but there was more over. I picked up a book today. I was just quickly looking through it in Terry's office. And this preacher, this American preacher said that God said to him once, preach, I am a big God and the devil is little. And that is what we need to get into our minds today. We worship a big God who has big plans and big ideas and big passions. Oh, amen. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Now those who had eaten the loaves and they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of fish. They had more finishing with what and than what they had with starting. That doesn't figure out, does it? But if we are hungry tonight, God will fill us. Oh, my friends. One of the most uplifting things I ever seen, and it was I managed a while ago to watch the God Channel, which I rarely watch. I don't know if that's a confession or not, but I rarely watch. And they showed a meeting from Brownsville in Pensacola where they'd been having the revival, and it must have been a long time ago because Stephen Hill was preaching. And he gave an altar call. And people didn't walk, my friends. They were sprinting to the front. And I thought to myself, I wonder if that would be me. Is that how much I want God? You know, we can carry on as we are. We can carry on satisfied with what we got. But it's not good enough. It's not good enough. We need to be hungry and thirsty for God. We need to be like that psalmist. Oh, my soul pants like the deer at the waters. You know, the last couple of months, Samuel loves what channel is it? It's the one, anyway, it's got Steve Irwin on, you know, the crocodile hunter. He loves those programs. He cried when he heard Steve Irwin died, bless him. But you see these animals, when they're in the desert, they've been in the desert and they come to the water. Sometimes they're risking their lives because there's lions and other predators. But because they're so thirsty, because they want that water so much, they're willing to take that step of faith. Take that step so they can get the water. And sometimes, my friend, we need to take a step of faith to have more of God. Sometimes we need a good kick up the backside from God. Get to the water. But God said he will fill us. Isn't it? He will give us the desires of our heart. Oh, my friends, there were 5,000 people there. Well, it was more, wasn't there? They said 5,000 men. Really, there was a lot more because there was women and children. There was a lot more. And you know, God satisfied them. God satisfied every single... They must have gone home rubbing their bellies like me after I've had a good Chinese or an Indian or something. Do you know, they were satisfied because they knew that God can do it. Amen? He will meet your need. Can I say that? I want to say plural. He will meet your need with plenty to spare. We all know Philippians 19. And my... Do you know... Can I say, I want to say this, I'm going to take it with me. It is a privilege to say, my God. My God. My God. No one else's God. My God. The God of all gods. The King of all kings. The Savior of the world. Because that's who he is tonight. My God shall, not if, shall supply all your need. Let's get it right. It's not needs, need. Let's not be greedy. According to what? His riches in glory. His riches. He's the richest man in the world. He's richer than Bill Gates. He's richer than the Queen. He's richer than whoever. According to his riches. If God can't, no one can. Isn't it? God can and will meet your need. He will. He is not a selfish God. He didn't take those people into the wilderness to die. He hasn't brought us here to die. You think about our journey from Llantrisant. Well, from... where did they originally meet? Cross Inn, to Llantrisant, to Ynys Mardi, to Beitha. He didn't bring us to die. He didn't bring the Israelites who had sinned against God to die. He brought them for a reason. He brought us here for a reason. And he will meet our need with plenty to spare. I remember many times Pastor Ray speaking about smallness, that we have a small mind, a small belief, but I believe we need a big belief for what God is going to do. We don't worship a little God. We worship a big God who created. Sometimes we need to get into our head, created all things. All things. When we look at, I'm not one of these people who like to look out into the planets, what they call them, astrologers, and it just never interested me. I'm awful sorry, but I know there is galaxies and planets and solar system, and our God created it all. Isn't that wonderful? All of it. And his riches. Isn't it wonderful? One day we will see the riches of God. One day we can know the riches of God. We can know the riches now of God. He is not stingy. He's not mean. God will not hold back from his people. He won't. What does he say in his word? That he will give good gifts. Good.
He will give good gifts. He will meet your need tonight. He will meet you. I will stand here in boldness and say, He will meet your need tonight, whatever your need is. And how do we, how? By asking. I want to say this. This is my final one. I don't know what the time is. He knows how the kingdom works. Can I say this? Let's picture it. It's Jesus, the disciples, 5,000 plus people. He has 2 fish, 5 loaves in front of him. Can you imagine the scene? 5 loaves, 2 fish. Can you imagine the disciples? If you were one of the disciples, what would you be thinking? I just don't know what I'd be thinking. But he knows how the kingdom works. Quickly. Verse 41. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven, blessed and broke the loaves, and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes he divided among them. Jesus, no, he looked to his Father. On earth, he looked to his Father. He prayed to his Father. And God, in his mercy, in his amazement, in his wonder, in his riches, divided those fish and those loaves so those 5,000 people could have more than enough. God knows how the kingdom works. He prayed to his Father, and God provided a miracle. You have a need tonight, pray to God, and he will provide a miracle. Pray to God, ask of God, and he will provide a miracle. Ask and he will answer. Seek and you will find. Knock and he will open. This is how the kingdom works. Jesus knew it. He was there. I don't know what even Jesus thought. He's more likely, I expect Jesus thought, what would we think? I think Jesus thought the same. I can't do this on my own. His Father. Who could? We can't do anything on our own, my friends. But with God, we can do all things. Amen? With God, we can do all things. We do it in our own strength, we will falter. But in God's strength, we can do all things. And he knew how we worked. He prayed. You read the word of God, and it says about Jesus went, set time aside and prayed to his Father because he knew that it would work. He looked to Jesus. Whatever your need is tonight, Jesus will meet it. Guaranteed, stamped down. But my friends, we need to be hungry. We need to be thirsty. We need to throw aside all the rubbish in our lives. Know about you, I've got lots of things I could spend my time on. Rubbish. But we need to set time aside to be with God. And God will fill us. And he will show miracles in our lives. Amen. God will fill every seat in this place and more if we believe it. There's a little saying I have. Believe and receive. Doubt and do without. If we doubt God, you will do without. You will not receive from God. But can I say, these 5,000, they believed in God. It said, what did it say again? I want to read it quickly. And the multitude saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran. They ran to Jesus. They ran. Why did they run? Because they knew he had the answer. Why did people follow Jesus? Because they knew he had the answer. He has the answer tonight. I haven't got the answer. Cyril haven't got the answer. But God has the answer. Amen? Amen. Amen. We love Jesus and he loves us. He loves us more than we will ever know. And he wants the best for us. He wants the best. But we have to hunger. We have to thirst. And he will fill us. And this place, God will do miracles in this place. You know, we got to be God seekers, running after God like these people did, running after him. and believing in him. You know, do you know what's wonderful about it? What's wonderful? He is our God. He is our God. I'm not talking about a God that we don't know. I'm talking about a God that we know every day of our lives. A God who wants to have a personal relationship with us. One who isn't a mystery, but somebody we know as a friend, a brother, as a king. Isn't that wonderful? Let's just bow our heads.